Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. This is episode 13 and we are so excited to be here with Isaac from Isaac Likes, who is a DJ and relationship expert. Welcome, Isaac. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about yourself. Where are you from? How old are you?
I'm 33 years old. I'm from New Zealand. I moved to New York in 2011. I started this blog, isaaclikes.com, in 2008. I was a fashion journalist who became like a fashion writer on a website, a blog. And it started out as like breaking news and stuff like that. And I was the first person in New Zealand history to ever get fired from a traditional media company for a blog post that I wrote on my personal blog. And it became this like...
That's so funny. What did you write that was so offensive?
I basically broke the story that New Zealand's largest media company had shut down a huge website division and fired all the staff. And the CEO of that company was like quoted in the newspaper saying that the things that I'd said were defamatory and incorrect. And I got fired from the magazine I was working for. And then the next day it came out that I was correct, that everything I said was true. So I sued.
Oh my God.
And
good
we
for you.
Settled. And then I started traveling all around the world on the Fashion Week circuit. Like, so going from New Zealand to Paris and Milan and New York and London and stuff like that. And in 2011, I moved here. I started writing for like the New York Times and GQ and Esquire and stuff like that. And then very quickly discovered that you cannot pay rent in New York City writing for the world's best publications.
That's true.
And so I got this agency who were like, well, your blog is already quite popular, so you need to start taking photos of yourself in outfits and become a personal style blogger. And I was like, never. And then I started doing it and making money.
And here we are now.
And then I started DJing around the same time, so like 2012.
So you started the hustle.
Yeah. And then I guess like 7 or 8 years ago on like my Tumblr, somebody asked this question. This girl was like, hey, I don't know who else to talk to. I'm in this relationship. I just found out he's been sleeping with my best friend. He says he loves me. I'll never, you know, he'll never do it again.
Right.
What should I do? And I was like, wrote this big long response basically saying, leave him immediately.
Yeah.
And I clicked publish and it opened the floodgates and all these girls started writing questions to me. And then I became this like relationship advisor.
And so it started on
Your blog. It started on my blog and then I wrote it for New Zealand Herald, which is like the big newspaper in New Zealand. I had a Saturday column and then I wrote for Man Repeller for quite a while, the Ask a Guy column.
Yeah, I love her.
And then I kind of like a few months ago I was like, I'm 33 years old. I don't really want to be writing a blog anymore. And Instagram is where you make all the money these days. And so I sort of transitioned from like getting questions on Tumblr to people started DMing me questions. And then I was like, why not just screen grab the conversations I have with strangers on the internet and post them on my Insta stories.
Right.
And so I started doing that. And that's become like a daily thing that I do.
That's amazing. And by the way, you're our first guest with an accent. So thank you for being that. And I'm sure girls that are listening are dying.
Oh, thank you.
So what made
What makes these girls trust you for relationship advice, or what makes you feel safe giving it? Have you been in a lot of relationships?
So the way that I answer that question, people ask me that a lot, and the honest truth is that, like, I relate to every bad situation that people can get into in a relationship, because I've either been on the giving or the receiving end of, like, every shitty thing that you can do, basically.
Meaning, like, you've been cheated on, you've cheated on, you've
done it all.
Abused.
Yeah, I've done it all. Yeah, I've done the whole lot. Like,
yeah.
Been in the friends with benefits situation for like 2 years, where mm-hmm. one of you falls in love, the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Been on the other, you know, been on both sides of that. Been on, like, you know, like, whatever it is. Yeah, I've mm-hmm. basically done it all, and so, like, I relate to all of that, and also, like, I'm much more sensitive than your average guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Gemini, so I don't know if it really, like, goes with my zodiac sign.
What, are you a June Gemini?
I'm a May Gemini.
Maybe that's why, because you're like a cusp.
Yeah,
could May be. What?
May 27th, born mm-hmm. on the same day as Andre mm-hmm. 3000.
Oh,
cool dude. But yeah, I don't know. So, like, I really, like, relate to, and I don't know. I've always related to girls mm-hmm. in, like, a really, really strong way, and. And so I relate to the situations that they get themselves into, because I'm a person who's likely to get myself into a stupid emotional situation,
right.
You know, being like the victim or the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also really relate to the guys they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they tell me about a guy and I'm like immediately go, oh yeah, I know what that guy's done.
Right. Like, you can see it a lot more clearly.
Yeah. So I relate to the feelings that they're talking about mm-hmm. and then I relate to the guy that they're talking about.
And have you ever been wrong? Like, let's say a girl came to you and
I've
she was
never
like,
been wrong.
No, really. Like, let's say a girl came to you and she was like, I don't, like, my boyfriend, like, cheated on me, and, like, I think he's, like, such an asshole and whatever, but, like, the reality of the situation was that, like, he only did that because, like, you know, whatever the fuck, you know.
I mean,
he was a good guy after all.
I just don't buy that sort of thing. Like, just the same way that I don't buy people breaking up and getting back together all the time and that being a successful relationship, because
yeah.
people who are in successful, happy relationships don't go on breaks and don't fight all the time and don't break up with each other.
I couldn't agree more. I actually tweeted the other day, if you have to break up and get back together more than once, you should probably just break up.
That's exactly right. Like, I could not agree with that more. And so... Yeah, sure, maybe, you know, like, who's to say that I'm always right? I quite possibly get things wrong. I had, like, a semi-debate with somebody who was responding to what I was writing about last night about DMing people.
Right.
And she had a completely different opinion to me. And when I, like, look at
her opinion was that, so, for background,
yeah.
Isaac had a story up on his Instagram last night, at Isaac Likes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
Isaac Likes with an underscore.
With an underscore. Yeah. And the story basically was saying we should be communicating in only on Instagram DM, you know, why text anymore? We're all spending most of our time on Instagram. And then, so you're saying a girl disagreed with you. What was her point?
So this is my friend Chrissy Ford. She's an editor at Harper's Bazaar, and she basically will, like, respond to everything I say and often disagrees with what I have to say. And she mm-hmm. was like, you are encouraging people to be, like, passive aggressive and not try to meet somebody face to face and, like, go up to them at a party and say, hey, I think you're cute. Here's my phone number. Instead, just, like, go home and slide into their DMs later.
Well, I didn't take what you were saying like that, personally. I took it as you saying, it's just easier, you're already open in the app, why, like, close it just to send a text? Not anything about, like, I care about you less. But,
yeah.
like, if we all did this, it wouldn't be like that, right?
For sure, but I guess the original question that got asked was, this girl was like, I work with this guy sometimes, we don't see each other that much, I'm too scared to ask for his number, but I want to hang out with him. And I was like, just DM him. It's the easiest
right.
thing in the world to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need to ask for anybody's number anymore. You can just slide into their DMs.
It's true. Is that like a New Zealand and Australia thing? Like, no joke, because every Australian or guy from New Zealand that I've met has DM me, or, like, preferred to DM.
I don't know. I mean, I've been gone for so long that I can't tell you, like, what is normal behavior for somebody from my country anymore.
Right.
But, like, all of my friends seem to do pretty well off Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Most people I meet these days seem to come from Instagram.
Where are most of your friends from? Are they all around your age? Do you have a lot of single friends?
I am... Like, so I made this, like, core group of friends, mostly Australians, when I first moved to New York in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the oldest. Like, they were probably early 20s, and I was, like, mid-20s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm usually, like, the oldest of my group of friends, and some of them... Like, the honest truth is that I met most of my friends who live in New York. Like, my original group of friends, I was traveling on the International Fashion Week circuit. I was, like, one of the only young, straight editors, like, you know, like, journalists on the tour. And I was really intimidated by, like, the older fashion guys who, like, had known each other for 15, 20 years and stuff. And so I started hanging out with male models. Like, basically all of my friends were male models because they were the only other young, straight guys who, like, wanted to party, you know, right. in the same way that I did.
Right.
And so when I moved here, I, like, moved in with these male models and basically, like, my friendship group developed out of that.
It's like Head Over Heels. Did you ever see that movie?
It's kind of more like Jersey Shore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Not as classy as that.
It was actually a lot like Jersey Shore. Okay. It's the other truth.
Gym tan laundry.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, like, sometimes they're single and sometimes they're... Yeah, sometimes they're single and sometimes they're not single. But, yeah, for the most part, the group was Australian and I was the only New Zealander.
Mm-hmm.
But these days I do hang out a lot with Americans as well.
Cool. And what's your fam situation? Are you an only child? Do you have siblings?
I have an older sister. She's 35 and she has two young daughters. And my parents are still together.
Wow. Congrats to them.
I FaceTime my parents every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every day without fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm, like, close.
Is that a new thing? Are you, like, having, like, later, like, growing up realizations that your parents are amazing? Or were you always close with them?
I was always close with them.
Mm-hmm.
And always, like, way too honest. Like, way too honest with my family.
Like, you tell your mom and your dad sex details?
No, maybe, like, sex details. It's like, yeah, no, probably not sex details, but, like...
Like, if you got on 3 dates with a girl, does your mom know about her?
Oh, like, if I've gone on 1 date with a girl, like, I will have FaceTimed with my parents and be like, meet this girl.
Are you, like, open about that because you know that girls, like that and it makes you sound, like, seem more trustworthy? Or are you more, like low-key about, like, being so close with your parents?
No, I mean, I think I'm pretty open about the fact that I'm close to my parents. Also, like, whenever I'm with people, my mum will FaceTime me, so, yeah. Like, and I always answer.
Right. You're currently single, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you dating people right now? Like, how are you meeting them? Are you on the apps, or are you just, like, doing it organically, waiting for people to slide into the DMs, sliding into other people's DMs?
Okay, so, like, I went through this, like, pretty major breakup earlier in the year. I was going to get married, and then I didn't get married. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, like, at this stage in my recovery from the breakup, I'm not emotionally available to be in a relationship, and therefore mm-hmm. I'm not, like, dating.
Mm-hmm.
But I hang out with girls sometimes, and often I meet them on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on any apps. I was on Raya for a couple of months. I met one girl on Raya who was, like, really, really cool.
Why aren't you on any of the apps? Just because you're not ready and you feel like being on an app is serious?
No, I just never really did that.
Mm-hmm.
I only did Raya for a bit because, like, my two Australian friends, Tom and Dougie, were like, get on the app, you gotta get on it, because I was, like, crying every day and, like, talking to them about it talking to them about my breakup for, like, mm-hmm. hours every day, and they were like, this is very annoying. You need to get on the app and see that there are other cool girls out there.
They're right.
And so I did. I met this one girl who was amazing. We had this kind of, like, brief 2-week thing over the summer. And then we had a fight and she never talked to me again.
Is that so?
Things like that often happen.
I kind of want to hear what the fight was about. If you want to tell us, or maybe you can tell us a different fight.
Yeah, I mean, basically it was kind of like, she did this thing that she thinks is cool that I don't think is cool, and I don't think that she's right, and I don't think that I was right. But, like, basically, I had had a fight with my ex earlier in the day, because we kept working with each other after the breakup, which was a... I wouldn't recommend anybody doing that. And so...
Or even when you're dating.
Yeah, or even when you're dating, for sure. And so, like, I had had, like, a fight with my ex, and then started talking to her, and, like, had a, like, picked a fight with her as a result. Because what better way to, like, enamor yourself of someone than to,
of course,
like, pick a fight with them, right? Because you're hurt because of something that happened with your ex earlier in the day. Like, that's a very mature way to deal with situations. So I basically did that, and I was like, oh, by the way, like, I don't like this thing that you do. And she was like, what are you talking about? And then it escalated because I'm like, I have a lot of, like, character defects that include being extremely impulsive, quite intense, and,
yeah, you don't have to tell me. I've dated Geminis.
Yeah. And
I'm a Libra.
Oh, cool. That's a good match.
Yeah.
Both air signs.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like hit or miss, right?
Well, I think most things are hit or miss these days. And so, yeah, I kind of, like, jumped into this thing, like, and I have, like, a pretty explosive temper as well, so, like, I jumped into this argument, like, said a bunch of things, and then, of course, within 4 minutes had, like, it had blown over for me, and I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't really mean that. And she was like, yeah, you can't just take that back. You can't, you know, like, you can't just, like...
See, that's the... As a Gemini, you need to be with someone who's okay with
whatever. She was a Gemini as well.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird. I was like...
You know, Gemini women are a lot more sensitive than Gemini men. I'm not even saying that... I didn't say you need to be with a Gemini. I said you need to be with someone who is okay moving on from the words that you say in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like that too. And I could never be with someone, because I have been and it didn't work, who held on to the things I said when I was mad.
Yes.
That's really toxic.
And so, like, shout out to my ex.
Yeah.
She was the best because I could, like...
What
I could
was
say,
her birthday?
She's a Gemini as well.
Oh.
I could...
Gemini's all around your life.
I know, that's right. I could say crazy shit. Yeah. And she'd known me for such, like, we were, like, best friends for 5 years before we got together, so, like, she'd known me for such a long time that she knew that I'd fly off the handle. Right. And I'm not the sort of person who's like, fuck you, like, boom, and, like, gone and, like, go for the jugular. I just, like, get angry and get loud and, like, say a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
But also, I've got to say, this is kind of unrelated, but nothing annoys me more than when I'm, like, getting, like, excitable and somebody's like, why are you shouting at me?
Oh my god. Don't even get me started.
But, like, nothing kills me more
than... It's a huge pet peeve.
That is a pet peeve. Okay, so, yeah, like, I cannot stand anybody telling me to calm down. I cannot, like, I have a loud voice. I'm a loud person. I'm, like, an excitable, enthusiastic person.
But no one wants to be told to calm down or to chill.
I can't deal. But also, like, there's nothing worse than when you're getting, like, really, like, angry. And, yeah, like you're saying, you want them to argue back. And they just get this, like, hurt, sad, quiet expression on their face. And you're like, oh, God, I've gone too far again.
And then you feel bad. It's just, it's not good. Yeah, that's the worst.
Oh, so you were asking me about dating.
Yeah, tell me more about dating.
So yeah, I like basically will I'm in a point in my life right now where I kind of maybe want to like make out with a girl and then have no strings attached and hopefully if I'm not maybe this sounds douchey, I don't know, but if I'm not interested in pursuing anymore, I want to be able to, like, walk away and not feel any, like, guilt about the situation, right?
That seems normal.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm a person who talks nonstop, right? And I'm, like, very open and I'm very honest.
Oh, here's... tell me if I'm wrong.
So I'm...
So you talk to these girls, like, so often that you end up, like, accidentally leading them on.
You're
and then it becomes, like, a really sad thing and you actually have to break up with them.
Yeah, and I don't even know
so
if
you're
I,
going
like, I
through like a
say,
million breakups.
I don't even want to say that I'm like leading anybody on, but I just like talk too much for my own good, and I always have, and my mouth like has always gotten me into trouble. And well, now these days my fingers because I'm like texting.
Same.
Nonstop.
That's. Yeah, do you know the song "My Stupid Mouth" by John Mayer?
No, I don't.
You don't.
But I will listen.
Listen to it after. It's literally about that.
Cool. Shout out John Mayer if you're listening.
Yeah, come on the podcast and have sex with me.
Yes, do both of those things. And so, yeah, like, I don't know. I also have this thing where I'm so honest and I'm so open and I, like, say whatever is on my mind that I come across as extremely trustworthy, I think, when I'm just, like, any other regular guy.
Yeah.
You know?
So that actually, so it's funny. So if a girl came to you and she was like... Isaac, like, I need your advice. This guy talks to me all day, every day. But, like, he hasn't initiated a plan with me. would you be like, just because that's kind of something, I don't know, I'm assuming you do since you talk a
lot. No, I don't do that. When I was writing for Man Repeller, I would say 95% of the time the question was, I was dating this guy and then he ghosted. Why did he ghost?
Because like, he wasn't interested.
He wasn't interested. And that's
have they not seen he's just not that into you?
That's great. The book, by the way, is much better than the movie.
My mom dropped it in my room. It's amazing. Literally, whenever it came out, I was like 13, and she was like, read this, and then it's your Bible for life.
It should be everybody's Bible. Yeah. I always like said that they should give that to every single person in school.
Absolutely. Your friend can't tell you he's just not that into you. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to figure it out.
This is the other reason that relationship advice works from me, is because like when girls ask girls
you
relationship
have no problem
advice.
Telling them that.
Exactly. They tell them what they want to hear, but when a girl asks me, I'll tell her exactly what the deal is.
Well, it's funny. I'm no Isaac Likes, but a couple girls have asked me now since I've had We Met at Acme, and I have no problem telling them that also. Mm. But that's just probably because I'm like, I don't know.
So my public service announcement to females would be like, when you're female friend is asking you about a guy that they're dating and it sounds like he's a douchebag, fucking say that he's a douchebag.
Right.
Don't say, yeah, I'm sure he likes you and I'm sure that he was just busy. If he's not calling, it's because he doesn't like the girl. If he's like acting like a flake, it's because he's not interested. If he's like sleeping with other girls at the same time, he's probably a douchebag.
And if you're having a hard time saying that, there are other ways to like hint at it. Like you could just be like, I wouldn't text him if I were you.
Yeah, true. But also like, never make excuses for men.
Yeah, ever.
Never.
Ever.
Don't ever make excuses for men. Don't ever say like
he's such a nice guy.
Or whatever, like, haven't you seen how much human beings are on their cell phones these days? So if a guy isn't texting you, is he literally in some like developing nation where they don't have Wi-Fi and his phone is dead and he doesn't have access to like to send a freaking text message? No, everybody has access to like Wi-Fi or to mobile service all the time. Everybody's on their cell phone 24 hours a day, or at least like 19 hours a day depending on how long you sleep. And so if somebody isn't texting you, they are making a conscious decision not to text you.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree
and
more.
If you don't believe that, then you are deluding yourself.
Agreed. The one thing I will say is that I'm dating someone now, and I don't know what it is, if it's a higher power, but many of the texts that I send to him do not deliver. And I swear to God, I have seen it on his phone and on my phone, done the comparison. They don't deliver. And like, I've been that girl who's like said the lie, like, oh, maybe he didn't get it. And I never believed it when I said it. I actually believe that's a possibility now. If it doesn't say delivered after you send the text, it didn't go through.
That is crazy. If I'm not, like, I'm on my phone all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I haven't read your DM, I've made a conscious decision not to open it because it's like, I don't want to do that right
now.
Oh,
that's so hurtful to people that know you, I feel like.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't do it with people who know me, really.
Right.
It's more like people who don't know me.
Right, like strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it's fine.
Or if it's a situation that I want to avoid for some particular
reason.
Right,
that's fair. I mean, you have a life.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. The other question that I get all the time is, I'm in a non-exclusive situation with somebody. How do I turn it into an exclusive situation?
You don't.
Yeah, do you know what? That's exactly... That's so funny because most people don't think that.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm completely in agreement.
Oh my God.
And this is going to sound maybe sexist, but like this is just how I see it. If a guy wants to be in an exclusive relationship with a girl... Like if a guy likes a girl...
Mm-hmm.
This is how I should say that. If a guy likes a girl... He doesn't want that girl to be having to potentially be having sex with other guys.
Yeah, and it's very quick sometimes.
And so from the moment that he feels that he likes her, and he doesn't want her to have sex with other guys, he's going to fucking lock that shit in.
Mm-hmm.
What person isn't going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well,
unless it's an open relationship type thing, but that's not what I'm talking about.
What? How long do you think is the longest a guy can take to do that? With still liking and wanting to lock down that person?
I don't know, 3 weeks?
No, that's ridiculous.
Well, maybe I'm ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Okay, so like I've had guys who I knew wanted to lock it down, and like I could tell, like we both kind of did, and it was heading in that direction, but like logically we knew that it was only, you know, a couple weeks and we didn't know each other well enough. And so we waited until like 2 months. But that doesn't mean that like there was any insecurity within those 2 months from my end or his, where one of us were like, I don't know if he wants to lock dog. We knew.
But were you sleeping with other people at the time?
Yeah.
See, okay, so like for me, and maybe this is me being, I don't know, I've been accused of being like sex negative before, right?
What does that mean?
Basically that I am not pro people having a lot of casual sex with people, or, and I'm just not that pro the, what I think is like the New York specific situation where it's completely acceptable to be like having sex with 10 different people, not exclusively, as long as everybody knows what the deal is. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I just don't think that's very like healthy for anybody, personally, right? Mm-hmm. And so if that makes me sex negative, then I'm fine, I'm sex negative. I have to say, I feel very strongly about this.
Yeah.
That like, I don't think that it's, I don't think it's a sign of female empowerment, or like, I'm like more feminist than anybody you'll ever meet, right? And I do not think that it's a sign of like female progression to behave in like the gross ways that men have been traditionally expected to behave. So like, I don't think that like, personally, I don't see it as being like, yes, girl power, I'm gonna like go out and fuck 15 guys at the same time, and that's like a sign of me being like a modern
human. No, I don't think that's girl power, but it's like, if I feel sexy and horny, and if I wanna have sex, I'm gonna have sex. That's where the empowerment comes from.
For sure, and I've got no problem with that. But I don't, like, I have a problem with, like, this whole non-exclusive dating thing, because I think it causes mass confusion for most people involved. Just because I have an instinct,
right?
Just because I have a desire to do something, do I have to do it every time?
Yeah, I mean, when you have an instinct to eat, when you have an instinct to get shelter, when you have an instinct to sleep...
Yeah, but what happens if...
How is sex any different?
Because sex is much more powerful than we give it credit for. And sex is like an emotional connection between two people. It's a physical connection between two people.
Not always connection.
But...
Mm-hmm. It's pretty technical, especially when you have... Like, it can be. Especially when you have a friend with benefits and your conversation consists of like, okay, are you come over? You literally have sex and then that's it. And neither person, the next day is expecting a text, you know.
Like, for sure, no, that's the, I understand the logistics of a friends with benefits situation, right? But why is if this girl's about to be exclusive with this guy,
right?
Would his, even though they are not exclusive yet, what if his feelings would be hurt if he found out that she was having sex with this other guy?
They would.
So, like, at what point is it like, maybe we should have respect for people's feelings?
Yeah, we should have respect for people's feelings, but at the same time...
But I want to fuck, so I should be able to fuck.
I don't owe you anything if you haven't asked me to be exclusive with you. It's a communication thing at that point.
But then it's like, okay, so what, you're, like, getting back at this person?
No, not at all. It's just, like, it's like if your mom, like, doesn't tell you... Like, if there's Hershey Kisses out, and you're a little kid, and your mom doesn't tell you not to take more than one, I can guarantee you're going to take a fucking handful, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if he hasn't told me that he's not okay with me seeing other people, then I can only innocently assume that he's okay with it.
Right.
Unless he has implied otherwise.
I hear what you're saying.
Or even hinted at it.
And I hear what you're saying.
Even a hint, I would be done.
Yeah, and I completely, like, I get where you're coming from. And I think from, like, without any feelings involved, you win the debate. But just because you win the debate doesn't mean that I think that you're right. You know, like, it doesn't mean that I think that it's right. You, like, if it's, like, a pure, like... You know, like, people vote who is correct in the situation. Yes, you're technically correct because the situation is still unclear or still undefined.
But that's not
But that's not to say that it's not wrong.
You're absolutely right. And that's when it's, like, logic versus emotion.
Exactly. And I think that, yeah, I don't know. It's like, if nobody finds out that I have, committed some, like, heinous crime.
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's not really like that. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
No, it's not really like that. Okay, well, my friend and my roommate and I were talking about this the other day. Would you accept $1 million to have sex with Trump? Was her question. And I said,
I like that question.
I said, it depends. If no one would find out, probably, yeah. Mm. And I would give it to charity. But if everyone would find out, it'd be a little more difficult. I'd probably still do it. And I'd probably still give it to charity. But it would be, do you know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that, like, I think that sex is a really powerful thing. It is a huge bond between people. It obviously causes enormous pain and suffering when it is, like, you know, like when it's done in certain ways. Mm. And yet we want to be able to, like, it's like we want to be able to all just act however the hell we want to behave. You know, like, we all want to behave however we want to behave with no consequences, but we don't want other people to do those same things to us that we're doing.
No, you're absolutely right.
And
but
so,
like,
yeah, yeah. And so, like, I just don't think that it's, like, I don't think that us going out and, like, sleeping with lots and lots and lots of people at the same time is really helping anybody.
Yeah.
And like I said, if that makes me sex negative or, like, stuck in the past, then fuck, maybe I'm stuck in the past.
And I don't think you're stuck in the past. I think that you're right. It doesn't, you know, help anybody. But...
Oh, sorry. Okay. Here's my biggest argument, okay? When we think about modernity, right?
Yeah.
We think about things getting, like, quicker, easier, more efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at how, like, a lot of our behavior, especially around dating, causes so much confusion, so many headaches, so much time, like, obsessing about, like, what the other person is doing or what they're thinking because nobody's communicating properly and we don't know where we stand with mm-hmm. people, right? And all that does is, like, slows us down, makes us less efficient, takes up a lot of emotional energy that could otherwise be spent doing right. other things.
Right.
And so what we think of as modernity is actually exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest argument.
No, you're right. Have you read Modern Love by Aziz Ansari?
Yeah, I have.
And has seen the second season of Master of None?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. My neighbors who live, like, two doors down, they met in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And in his book, he talks about how, Aziz talks about how back in the day, everyone would marry their neighbor. And it was just, like, a standard thing. And now our entire generation is always looking for, okay, this is good, but what could be better? Let's see. Like, what out there could maybe be better than this? And that's, like, the biggest problem that we have, I guess. So, just to your point, we suck.
Well, yeah, I think that the technologies that have been created and which we all love are actually in a lot of ways fucking us up. Like, I don't think that it's any mistake that I think it was Facebook first who put the read receipts on messages.
Mm, mm.
And you can tell, like, the three dots when you know that somebody's typing. Like, I guarantee there was, like, extreme psychology involved in that. That, like...
For sure.
That it's going to make you keep going back and back and back and back. Because it's like, are they writing? Oh, they've read it. How can they not respond?
Mark Zuckerberg recently, like, admitted, right? He admitted that he knows that Facebook's technology... Or it wasn't him. It was the guy who started Naps, Sean Parker.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yeah, we are totally fucking with everyone.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, fully.
I mean, it's like we're like the FOMO generation.
Mm.
We look at what everybody else is doing. We go, oh, their life looks better than ours.
Yeah.
Their life, they look happier than us. They look better looking than us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody who is, even the people who are looking better looking and happier and, like, they're going on better holidays or eating better food or with cooler people or whatever, are feeling exactly the same way about other people. And so all we're trying to do is, like, prove to everybody constantly that our lives are better than they really are.
Oh, yeah, all the time. And prove that we can get over things fast and, you know, just, like, prove that we are robotic, but, like, we're literally the opposite, so it's just, it's confusing.
In the early weeks of my breakup in February, I was so fucking happy on my Insta story. Yeah, every Insta story, I was like the happiest person you've ever seen.
On your Insta story.
Yeah.
Like,
and because I knew that she was looking.
Most important phrase, yeah.
And I was literally crying all day. So I'm like, I'm just as guilty as this of this as anybody else. I was like crying all day, every day.
Something that we've been doing, and I've mentioned many times now on our We Met at Acme Instagram, we're doing these polls. And I hope and think that you guys are listening because the numbers are going up and up. We did this poll a few weeks ago, and the question was, would you date someone who's sober? And I have many, many good friends who are sober. And shockingly, to my dismay, it was like 75% no. Hmm. And I'm definitely shocked by that. You had mentioned to me that you are sober. Have you experienced like hate for that? Or just like, you know, what's your experience dating as someone who's sober? And how long have... has that been your lifestyle?
So it's been my life. I've been sober for like almost 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was somebody who was like, probably doesn't look like a traditional alcoholic. Like, I think that a lot of people, just to give like a little
what
bit.
What do you
of,
mean? Yeah, you do. You look like a huge alcoholic.
Just to give a little backstory, like, I think a lot of people have this attitude that to be an alcoholic, you have to be like homeless or like drinking alone or drinking in the morning, you know, like hiding bottles. I didn't do any of those things. I was out at nightclubs 5 to 7 nights a week for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, like I said before, like, I'm not a person who likes to be alone. And so I was just out 100% of the time. If I wasn't in a nightclub, I was in a bar. If I wasn't in a like bar, I was in an after hours. I was,
so you weren't drinking alone, but you were like using it as an excuse to...
I was just constantly drinking. I was just constantly out. I was constantly at a party. Mm-hmm. And if last night's party was amazing, then tonight's party has to be even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go to like about dating, I guess what I'm more interested in is like, would I date somebody who drinks a lot?
Mm.
And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm. And so you might have just said it. How many years now that you're
like almost 3.5?
Almost 3.5. Okay. And so you wouldn't date someone who drinks a lot. I'm assuming drinking was what you got sober because of.
And other things, but yeah, drinking. Okay. But like ever drinking.
What about
like,
someone who smokes a lot of weed?
Nah, I couldn't do it.
What about someone who... So basically, I feel like going down this road is stupid. So no one who does a lot of anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just because because it's at the end of the day, like, I got sober because I have a problem with alcohol, right? And so anytime I'm around something a lot, it can trigger me in different ways. And even if it doesn't, like, tempt me to do it myself, it can make me feel, like, anxious or uncomfortable or any number of ways. And so, like I don't really go to nightclubs anymore, for instance. I don't spend really any time in bars anymore. So, like, so it wouldn't really work for me with my lifestyle to be in a relationship with somebody who wants to hang out in bars 5 nights a week, which is what I wanted to do.
But what if you, like, what's a first date spot for someone who can't be at a bar?
Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Only coffee, really.
No, but I mean, like,
like a restaurant is fine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. I don't know. Like, I see. This is the like. I don't really go on dates very much. If it's a situation where it becomes this thing of like, what am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? It's already kind of a problem, I think, for me.
Like a person who's approaching you in that way.
Yeah, well, like if I'm approaching the situation in that way and being like, right. how much of this situation can I handle? If I'm asking myself, how much of this can I handle? I already can't handle it.
Right. But if you're with someone who you're not even thinking about that, that's a good sign, right?
Yeah. So like if it's a situation where I know somebody smoked, like there's a girl that I met recently who I think is really cool and really fun to talk to and a super babe and smokes weed every day.
It's me.
It's you. And I know already that like even entertaining that is stupid for me because I can't be in a relationship with somebody who smokes weed every day.
But what if she, like, cared about you enough to not do it around you?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... But, like, I've had experiences, like, obviously I've been sober for, like, 3.5 years. Like, I've had experiences where it can cause resentment, it can cause, like, issues, it can cause, like... Like, what happens if I'm hanging out with a bunch of sober people and the girl that I'm dating turns up and you can, like, full-on smell the margaritas on her breath? And I'll tell you one thing, like, when you get sober, alcohol is the strongest smell in the world. You know? And
even,
so for me, it can just be
sober,
that.
Almost, yeah.
It can just be that. It can be like, I don't really want to kiss somebody who, like, tastes like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to deal with, like... I don't want to have to deal with somebody who's, like... hungover all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't want to do something the next day.
What do you think the reason that 75% of people don't want to be with someone who's sober is?
Probably all of the reasons that I'm listing.
Do you think it's because they want to drink, like, first and foremost? Well, if you had to list three reasons, ranking in what's most important.
I guess alcohol is obviously the biggest social lubricant that we have.
Yeah.
And so people, generally speaking, loosen up.
They're too insecure without it.
Yeah, loosen up and have a lot more fun when they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people feel like it's, you know, because especially in New York City, our lifestyles revolve around going out and hanging out in bars because we don't go to people's apartments very often. We don't hang out, like, inside that much. We're always out. And so if you're not going to go to bars, it's like what you said, like, what are you going to do then?
Right.
And third, I don't know what the third, but those would be the two biggest reasons for me.
I think. Is because they're scared.
Oh, fear of judgment.
That it's gonna, that you're gonna relapse.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. But I think that it would be like fear of judgment as well. Like, oh, so you're like looking at every drink that I have, and you're feeling
actually,
like.
I would say my number one is that fear of relapse because it's scare. It's two different people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, for me, is my biggest fear. And that wouldn't stop me, necessarily. Maybe it would actually be even, like, more interesting to me. Because everyone likes a challenge, you know? But that would, I guess, be my thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I literally didn't even think about that because... Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, for sure. And I'd say that, like, if somebody is, like, truly an alcoholic... Because there's a difference between somebody who doesn't drink and somebody who's a sober alcoholic.
Yeah.
Two very different things.
Right.
And what we learn when we get sober is that alcohol and drugs are the symptom. They are not the problem.
Mm.
The problem is that you have a hole inside yourself that you're trying to fill with anything, whether it's alcohol, whether it's sex, whether it's shopping, whether it's gambling, whether it's talking to strangers on the internet, you know?
Well, what do you think about that, those people who don't drink but aren't alcoholics or who are just like, yeah, I'm cleansing or like...
Well, I come from a religious background where there's no drinking allowed. And so, like, I grew up with people who don't drink.
No, but I mean, like, people, like, douchey, millennial non-drinking. Like, I'm taking a break from drinking for a month because I'm going to Burning Man after. Or, like...
Well, the quickest way to turn me off when
drinking.
I used to drink was to say, oh, I'm not going to have a drink tonight. That was, like, I couldn't stand people who did that. When I was drinking, when I was partying, if you were like, oh, I'm just going to take it easy tonight, I was like, I literally never want to talk to you ever again.
Right.
So that, you know, like, so for me, that was, like, the biggest douchey thing that you could do.
Right.
But also... Like with people who are in relationships who go on breaks and who break up and then get back together and break up and get back together.
You can't do the same thing with alcohol.
In my experience, people who don't have a problem with alcohol don't tell me that they don't have a problem with alcohol. People who have a problem with alcohol will lead a conversation with, oh, you know that, like, I can handle it. You know that I don't have a problem with alcohol, right?
Of course.
And I think a lot of people probably do have a problem with alcohol.
It's like homophobic people who are clearly gay.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And anybody who tells me, like, oh yeah, but, like, I do coke a lot, but, like, I could stop anytime I want, like, who says that?
Yeah.
Like, literally, who says that?
Who says that? That's hilarious.
And it was actually my mum said this really interesting thing to me when, like, just before I got sober, where I came clean and told them, like, everything about, like, everything. And I was like, I don't understand because all of my friends are like me and I'm the only one who seems to have the problem. Like, how is it that I wake up and I want to kill myself every day and everybody else seems to be happy? and fine and living like contented, prosperous lives, which of course is not the case when people are doing that sort of shit. But like, that's, you know, how it seemed to me because I was so deep in my own misery.
Right.
And my mum said to me, why don't you stop comparing yourself to people who like take drugs every day and start comparing yourself to people who don't take drugs? And I was like, it was like this light bulb above my head. And I was like, oh, true.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that it can be difficult for, like, I couldn't, I will not be in a relationship with somebody who takes cocaine casually.
Would you agree with the statement, if a drug changes you, you shouldn't be doing it?
What drug doesn't change someone?
Okay, let me rephrase.
This is the entire point of a drug or alcohol to change someone.
Would you be okay with the phrase, if you're using whatever drug or alcohol that you're taking as an escape, it's not okay? But if you're using it as a fun thing, do you know what I mean by that?
Like, I would have been the first person to say, I just fucking love drinking. I just love drinking.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. You, like, deep down, you know, if you know, like if I'm like, you know, feeling sad, let's say I'm like feeling sad about like a fight with a friend and then I smoke a joint, like I'll know that like I'm not using that in the right way, you know. But then let's say I'm with like my best friend and we're about to go see Star Wars and like we smoke a joint and then go see it, that's a totally different usage.
Yeah, and I don't think that everybody's an alcoholic, and yeah. I don't think that everybody's got a problem with drugs.
Yeah.
I do.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I can't judge what anybody else is doing.
Right.
But I have a problem with those things. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I can't do it safely. Like, so, okay, so, you know, you ask, like, what the most common, like, or what, you know, what the main questions I get asked for relationship advice.
Yeah.
The question that most people ask me when they find out that I'm sober is, like, but don't you, like, do you think you're ever going to be able to drink again? And don't you, like, couldn't you just have a glass of wine with dinner? Mm-hmm. I've never had a glass of wine with dinner in my entire life. Mm-hmm. I've never had one drink in my entire life.
Because that's not something you're capable of.
That's just not what I did. Yeah. It's just not who I am.
Right. Maybe, like, in 20 years, if you want to think about it, maybe you will.
I don't think so. No, yeah. but I mean, and I can't even entertain those thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because I know, because I have to play the tape forward, and I'd be like, this is what happens when I drink, and this is what happens when I do the other stuff, and it's really bad.
Going back to dating for a second.
Yes.
You're dating a girl. You're really into her. What are some deal breakers for you? One of the big ones on this show is people that don't want to have kids.
Mm. I don't like people who refuse to take responsibility for things.
Well, that's a lot of people. That's like a third of the population right there, including our president. So what are we going to do about those people?
Extreme division, right? But I can't date a Republican.
Oh, well, that's fine.
I can barely date an American Democrat.
Yeah. What?
I come from a country where our right-wing party makes the Democrats look like fucking Nazis.
Oh my God.
Okay, that's a little extreme. Yeah. But New Zealand is the most politically progressive country in the world. We gave women the vote in 1893. We had a transgender politician who was voted in by the people in the 1970s.
I believe it.
You know, first country in the world to allow like gay marriage, like all these things.
Yeah, but I mean, you're here in America. So.
I live in America, but like, so I find most people.
So you obviously like America better.
I love New York. Mm-hmm. I don't live in America. I live in New York, and I think that's
New York. An important thing to say. The center of America, in my opinion.
But it's clearly not, otherwise we wouldn't have this president.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But
you're
like, right. And
that's a whole other discussion.
And so I find a lot of Americans like deeply, deeply conservative. Mm. And I even find like a lot of Democrats deeply conservative. Like I was hanging out with this girl recently who comes from a very, very wealthy family, lives in like an $8,000 Tribeca apartment. I'm not.
Oh, she knows the owner.
She knows the owner.
It's like from Bridesmaids when she's like, oh, Helen, did you see that?
I love that line from Bridesmaids. Help me, I'm poor.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so she's like a rich kid who says that she is. I'm about to get on one, just so you know, okay?
All right.
She says that she is socially left.
Fiscally Republican.
Fiscally Republican. And I'm like, motherfucker, okay?
Yeah, but everyone says this.
I don't say this.
They're mentally stupid.
Okay, yeah. For sure that means I'm mentally stupid. Okay. So when you say you're socially Democrat or whatever, socially left, you're saying that you agree with gay marriage, right?
Yeah.
Great. Everybody agrees with gay marriage. But if you're also saying that you're like fiscally Republican, then basically you're saying that you don't believe that like poor people should be, should have like healthcare.
Exactly. That you shouldn't have no taxes because you have more money, less taxes.
Exactly.
Like, I'm a greedy piece of shit.
That like
basically what you're saying.
Parents who can't afford their to feed their kids shouldn't have shouldn't be allowed to be given like food stamps.
Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is actually you're socially and economically Republican and you're a fuckwit.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a deal breaker for me.
Deal breaker number one. Well, are there any last pieces of advice that you can give to our listeners about dating?
Yeah.
You know, give us the...
Stay
true to yourself.
The best piece of relationship advice I have ever heard in my entire life comes from my father, Grant Hinden Miller. He's an amazing man. Oh. And
Is your last name Miller?
Hinden Miller.
Oh, your last name is Hinden Miller.
Yeah.
That's not New Zealand. That's
Hinden is like, Latvian and Miller is Scottish.
Oh.
So I've got a bit of the Jew in me as well.
There you go.
On my mother's side. Mm-hmm. So my dad once said to me, my dad says to me a lot, and I'm always saying this to other people, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Oh my God.
And it is so true. Like
it always comes back.
If it upsets you at the beginning, and you try to suppress it and be like, oh, I can deal with it. Like, anytime you tell yourself...
Anytime
I tell myself I can handle this situation, I can't fucking handle the situation.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Dude.
Anything that I tell myself, oh, I can probably deal with this. Nah, this will probably go away. It's not going to go away.
Yeah.
You can't deal with it. You can't handle it. It's going to be a deal breaker. But the other thing is, like, if a guy tells a girl that he's not looking for something serious, he's not fucking looking for something serious.
He's not. Don't try to change his mind.
Yeah.
And same with the girl.
And same with the girl. Like, we don't get ourselves into situations telling them that we're not looking for something serious if we want to get into something serious.
Yeah, but people hear that and they're like, perfect, it's a challenge. Let's
go. Okay. And the other thing that I would say to young women is, be true to yourself. Don't try to be the cool girl.
Yeah. We call her Tag.
Oh, really? Why?
That easygoing girl.
Okay, yeah. So the Tag. Don't, like, who loves burgers and beer and blowjobs and can just, like, hang out.
No one's Tag.
Nobody is the cool girl. I try to be the cool girl myself.
Yeah, and when you try to be Tag, you make the rest of us look, like, bad and psychotic when we're really normal and cool because you're pretending to be this person that you're not. And when you're Tag and then you start dating someone and you turn the Tag off and you're normal they're going to think you're a psycho because you tried to be so chill when you weren't.
Exactly. So don't pretend to be something that you're not. Don't pretend that you can deal with things that you can't deal with. Don't overlook things that hurt your feelings and act like it doesn't hurt your feelings because later on it's going to fuck you up. And don't be the cool girl. And I say that to myself. I have to say that out loud because I got myself into a situation where I thought that I could handle getting back into a situation with an ex where it was going to be like a casual friends with benefits situation.
Yeah, no.
And it literally,
mm-mm.
I'm not going to say it made me suicidal, but it hurt so badly.
Yeah. My friends from BU and I say, I don't care. She thinks I care, but I don't care. And it's the standard. I care so much.
Mm-hmm.
So just be true to yourself and how you feel from the beginning, and then you'll get hurt a lot less when all your feelings come out in the end.
Yes.
Thank you, Isaac, so much for being here. I'm going to try to honestly air every minute of this because I truly believe that it was very illuminating.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure.
And follow Isaac on Instagram at IsaacLikes_ and DM him your relationship issues or DM us both in like a group DM. That would be so fun. And follow us on Instagram at WeMetAtAcme, no spaces. We also are on Twitter and Facebook, but those channels are not as fun. And
so true. True words have never been spoken.
And write a review or rate us in the podcast app. Also, keep your calendars marked for Valentine's Day, February 14th. We are having a We Met at Acme date party at Acme. Doesn't get much better than that. Tickets are going on sale soon, and the early ones will be cheaper as it goes. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night, morning, noon, afternoon. I can't speak anymore after this long of recording.
Bye.
Bye.